thought he had the... Right here, you big nut. Thought he had the advantage. Before you take your seat, look at somebody and say, you are God's designated champion. Tell them again in case they didn't receive it. Tell them, God has chosen you as a designated champion. Take your seat. A few years ago, the Wall Street Journal published an article titled "Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior" by Chinese American Amy Chua. The piece itself was an excerpt from a book called Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother. And in this book, Chua discusses her experiences about being brought up in a home and then raising her own children within a home with high expectations of behavior. The article begins like this. It says, a lot of people wonder how Chinese parents raise such stereotypically successful kids. They wonder what these parents do to produce so many math whizzes and music prodigies. What it's like inside the family and whether they could do it too. Well, I can tell them because I've done it. This is the person that wrote the article is speaking. And here are some things my daughters, Sophia and Luisa, were never allowed to do. They were never allowed to go to a sleepover. They were never allowed to have a play date or to be in the school play. They couldn't complain about not being in the school play. They couldn't watch TV or play computer games. They were never allowed to choose their own extracurricular activities, and they couldn't get any grade less than an A. They could not be the number one student in every subject except gym and drama. They couldn't play just any instrument. It had to be the piano or the violin. And so this article, it launched a firestorm of controversy. And even now, the Wall Street Journal says that there are nearly 9,000 comments posted on this one article. Well, I want you to know that many people were outraged that someone could be so brazen and mean to her children. The fact that the book was partially tongue-in-cheek and self-depreciating was lost on many of the people who read it. What really sticks out in the article are the observations on human behavior that she makes in the book. Some things she said. She says Chinese parents can order their kids to get straight A's. Western parents can only ask their kids to try their best. Western parents are concerned about their children's psyches. Chinese parents aren't. They assume strength, not fragility or being fragile. And as a result, they behave very differently. Chinese parents spend approximately 10 times as long every day drilling academic activities with their children. And by contrast, Western kids are more likely to participate in sports teams. What Chinese parents understand is that nothing is fun until you are good at it.
That's right.
To get good at anything, you have to work. And children on their own never want to work, which is why it is crucial to override their preferences. I want you to know that last statement really hit me. And really, she's right in a sense. Most things are not fun until you're good at them. Amen. I remember learning how to play basketball. I wasn't good until I got good. Y'all is saying this back to me. It wasn't fun to play until I got good. And then when I was able to shake folks up at the top of the key, take one dribble, go left, put it right here, bring it back right here, lay it up off the glass, or have my friend over there, Terry Hines, I throw him an alley-oop from about 30 feet. It wasn't until we were able to play the game that it was actually fun. What I'm saying is that sometimes we need to be pushed beyond what we think we are able to do before we find out what our limits are. Amen. We don't become a champion by accident. Yes. Somebody needs to talk back to me. Hallelujah. Sometimes the role of champion has to be assigned to us. So then the question would have to be asked, what is a champion? A champion is someone who fights on behalf of another. In the book of Samuel, there is a story of Goliath and David, and Goliath is the champion of the Philistines. He comes out onto the battlefield and challenges the army of Saul. Look what it says in 1 Samuel 17 and 9. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I win, if I get the victory, you all are going to become our slaves. Goliath doesn't suggest that the two armies fight on the field. Instead, what he's suggesting is that only two men go at it. Rather than wasting all the time and the bloodshed on hundreds or thousands of men fighting, we rather just have two people go at it and winner take all. Y'all heard that before. Winner takes all. Amen. If the Jewish champion wins, then all the Philistines will become slaves. But if Goliath wins, then all of Israel will become their slave. Amen. It is an all or nothing proposal. I get happy right here because I'm going to get back to what I'm talking about, but I thought about Jesus right here. It was all or nothing. Let me get back. I started getting happy myself. This is the nature of a champion.
That's right.
Hallelujah. In modern times, we have a tendency to think of a champion as a winner of a contest, but in reality, a champion, like I said before, is someone who fights on behalf of another person. That's why when you see two boxers fighting and they call him the champion, they call some people, that sometimes boxers get the title, the people's champion, because he represents them. Y'all say something back to me. Amen, amen. When Mike Tyson was winning, Mike Tyson was fighting for all of us. When Joe Louis was winning, Joe Louis was fighting for all of us. When who else? When Manny Pacquiao, Manny Pacquiao's country got behind him. Amen, amen. And so they couldn't fight themselves. They couldn't go through the training themselves. Keep that in mind. But they put their faith in one person that could go out and represent them and win the battle. Y'all talk back to me. Amen. Some of you are champions for your family. What are you saying, preacher? You're the only one that's going through the training to be able to fight the battle for your family so that your family will be victorious. All right, is that my God? Is that my blind bombshell out there? Listen here. That's why it is so surprising, so mind-boggling why Saul chooses David to be his champion. You got to remember what the stakes are. If I prevail against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us. David's brothers are going to be slaves to the Philistines. Saul himself being king will probably be killed. And in biblical times, if they didn't kill the king, what they did was they cut off his thumbs and they cut off his big toes. So he was no more functional. And with all this on his mind, and despite all that's going on, look what Saul does. Saul sends out a little boy to be the champion.
That's right.
He does not send out the best swordsman. He doesn't send out the best archer. He sends a musician. It would be as if a high school football coach were to say, boys, we have no chance of winning against this team. I talked to the other coach and we have decided that instead of having the whole team go out onto the field, we are just going to send one guy from each side. The other team has a guy who has been held back a few grades. He's 22 years old in high school, a sophomore, and he's 6'6", 340 pounds. Can run the 100-yard dash in 8 seconds. I could send one of you guys, but I don't want you to be injured, so I'm going to send somebody from the band. Plays an instrument called the tuba. Those two are going to do battle, and whoever wins, they are the victors. What do you say, team? That's essentially what Saul does. He was sending out a little kid against a champion warrior. The implications were not that, not just that this would kill David and David's brothers and all Saul's army would become slaves or put to death on spot. Saul chooses David to be his champion. But I have to ask, why? We know why David, listen here, now watch this. We don't know why Saul chose David, but we know why David chose to jump up. It says in 1 Samuel 17 and 25 that there was a lot of money offered for fighting against Goliath. Look what it says. It shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So the man who kills Goliath gets paid. He gets to marry the king's daughter. And he doesn't have to pay taxes. For those of you who hate tax deductions, there it is right there. It's a biblical principle. Saul asked for volunteers for his champion. Now, it's curious that even when he offered this, a whole bunch of people did not jump up.
That's right. They sure did.
So being a champion is not for everybody. Why? Because they were afraid. You cannot be an army in the you cannot be a soldier in the army of the Lord and be a punk.
That's right.
You can't be afraid of a fight. Y'all ain't saying nothing back to me. When David hears this, he stands up proudly in righteous indignation and says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And we tell kids this story and we tell them with enthusiasm. But that's not the first thing David said. David said in 17 and 26, 1 Samuel, David spoke to the men. It's like he's hiding behind a rock with them. And he said, "Hold up. The king said, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and take away the reproach?" For, in other words, you mean he really going to pay us like that? I'm getting ready. I'm going to get broke off like that.
Amen.
Stay with me. I'm getting somewhere.
Come on, Pastor.
So even though he didn't understand what was going on and the magnitude of which he was fighting because there was something in stake, in store for him if he won the battle.
Yes.
All right, stay with me now. But why was David chosen? David was chosen because he had confidence. David had been out in the fields with the sheep and he had been tested. David's brothers assumed that he was weak. You got some folk that assume, I'm getting somewhere now, that you're weak. They assume that you can't hang. They assume that you can't hold your own. They don't know what you've been through. They just assumed that he was coming out to bring his brother some lunch and to see some cool battles going on. They don't know what happened when he was by himself tending to the sheep.
Come on.
They accused him of being just a hired hand and living with some sheep and just going on and doing his business. They don't know that he had a tiger mom whose name was Yahweh. And that God did not allow him to think of himself as weak.
Come on, Pastor.
He forced David to see himself as strong. He didn't know that God had David. His brothers didn't know that God had set David on a path. He looked crazy now. But the benefit would be huge. Y'all stay with me on this. You might look crazy now for giving God glory. But the benefit is huge. Y'all stay with me. Some people say, why you praise God like that? Because God has been good to me. And people can't understand why you give God glory. The way that you do, you might know that you lose in your mind. But there's a reason why I praise God. Because the benefit is, I shall come out as pure gold. Y'all ought to get with me on this. Some folk is looking at you crazy. Some folk are talking about you. Some folk are scandalizing your name. You might look like you have lost your ever loving mind, but there's a reason I do what I do. Why are you praying all the time? Why are you fasting all the time? Why are you always going to church? Why you always got your hands up? Why you always running around? Why you always shouting? Why you always jumping? Why you always saying hallelujah? Because I might look crazy now. But the benefit, somebody say the benefit, the benefit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Look crazy.
Hallelujah.
Come on, Pastor.
I might even sound crazy.
Yes.
I might even appear crazy. But the benefit, payoff, is huge.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You might be the only one to understand that you and God is a winning combination. And when folk can't see what you see, that's why you got to let some people go. Because when they can't see what you see, they don't understand the way that you praise, the way that you do. I praise because I see some things that you don't.
Hallelujah.
This is 1 Samuel 17:34. It says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant keep his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of the lion's mouth. Y'all stay with me now. There are some things, listen to me. If you want your kids to be saved, you parents, you're going to have to go out and get your children out of the mouth of the lion. Y'all ain't saying that back to me. In other words, you can't be no punk. You physically going to go out and pull your children out of the mouth of the lion and then kill. And then kill the lion that's trying to eat up your family. That's why you praying and praising and staying on your knees and giving God glory, it looks crazy.